as I stood down there and sang with you. What wonderful singing. How we lift ourselves to God. And it's in faith and grace that we do that. And I'm going to talk a bit about faith and grace and that kind of thing. But we're going to have a reading first. It's a bit of a tricky reading for some of us from Matthew's Gospel. I'm going to say to you, when the Bible, the New Testament, was written, it was written in Greek, in New Testament Greek. And people writing in the Greek, when they wrote in the Greek, they just wrote the consonants. So it's kind of confusing, really. I can't do that. I mean, I couldn't work it all out. But that's how they wrote it. And all capital letters and no punctuation. Can you imagine? That's how they wrote it. I mean, I wonder whether part of that was because there was quite a lot of persecution around. So at least you could sort of say, well, it's maybe not what it really meant. This reading, it doesn't have necessarily the punctuation that we read in the Bible. So you have different versions of the Bible. You might have the NIV, which I think is one we're going to use here. I've got the New Revised Standard here. Anybody read it in the Greek? It's worth it. You can get these interlinear. So you get the Greek on top. And I haven't done something with my thing. Oh, it's not on. you get the Greek on top and the English translation beneath. It's quite fun to read the Bible in that way. I have to say, it is fun. It may not sound fun, but it is, because it's just phrased differently. And I always think with this reading, we don't know how Jesus said two things that he says that people find different. And I wonder, have you ever seen those Jewish comics? And they say that everything's a bit like a question. You know what I mean? So they'll say the same thing, but it sounds like a question. And I wonder whether that's how Jesus actually talked to the people with the disciples around him. Because he was a very entertaining speaker. So if you get bored when you're listening to me today, get out your Greek interlinear and see what Jesus is. It's much more fun than what I'm saying. Really, and get to know Jesus. That's the other thing I'd say to you. Get to really know Jesus. So sometimes you say, I know Jesus because I met him on the 23rd of January 1963. Yep, but how's the relationship going with him? That's the question I'd want to ask. How's it going with Jesus? How well have you got to know him since? When you read what he says, how does that speak to you? How does that encourage you on your journey? I hope it encourages you. How does it strengthen your faith? We've talked quite a bit, actually, in this church just recently about deepening faith. How does it deepen your faith as you get to know Jesus more and more day by day? You know, one of the lovely things, in a way, about being spared to live a bit longer, Michael's saying about the alarm going, oh, is this it? Is that you have a bit longer to get to know Jesus, to get to know God, to get to see how God works. And it is quite exciting, actually, this journey of faith, I think. And it's revealing and it surprises us. Sometimes we get these big surprises. Anyway, Matthew's Gospel, verse chapter 15, verses 17 to 28. I think it'll be on the screen. Yeah, it is. So, first of all, Jesus talking about things that make you unclean. Don't you see, he says, that whatever enters the mouth and goes into the stomach and then out of the body, those don't defile you, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and those things can defile you. They can make you dirty, he's saying. So be careful what comes out of your heart, for from the heart come evil thoughts sometimes. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands doesn't defile them. He's not saying eat your sandwiches with unwashed hands, but he's saying it won't make you unclean in God's sight. So it goes on. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus didn't answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to a woman, "You have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. I think some versions say, at that very moment. Her daughter was healed. Whoa, what a woman. What a woman. She wasn't a Jewish woman. She was a person from somewhere else. I mean, here, you know, I've heard people talk about there are people who are from out. Oh, it's off here, is it? I'm definitely thinking Blackheath, they said it was out. So, but they're out, aren't they? They're off. They're off. They're off in Blackheath. So if you're in Gornal Wood, we're in Gornal Wood, aren't we? I'm just trying to get that right nowadays. But I think we'd say that people from Upper Gornal and Gornal, they're not off, are they? I mean, there's a bit of debate about that one. What about a little bit beyond? Let's go to Dudley. Oh, no. Wolverhampton. Oh, my word. Birmingham. Oh, dear me. Let alone people who come from a different faith tradition and people who come from a very different place. That's the kind of person we're talking about with this woman. Different faith, different place. So obviously, the disciples, it's all for Jesus with them, isn't it? Like we were singing, all for Jesus. I loved what Mike said about where your heart lies. Absolutely. Where your heart lies. The disciples are all for Jesus. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. That's what it's all about. They see him and they know him. And yes, they know him. They've been on a long journey with him. They don't know him well enough yet to know that he will rise from the dead. They don't know him well enough, perhaps, to trust that if they go on that journey with him all the way, they will be okay. Peter, he's a brave one, isn't he? He says, "I'll go with you wherever you go," but he doesn't quite make it. He knows him, but he doesn't know him so well that he knows that Jesus will see him even through the depths of darkness and death. But those disciples, yeah, they know that they know him. "Where else can we go?" they say, "for you have the words of eternal life." This is when other people are leaving Jesus. They're falling back. They're saying, "This is too hard. We can't cope with the pressure. Everyone's against us. The Jewish authorities are against it. The Roman state's against us. Everyone's giving us grief. We can't hack this anymore with Jesus. We're going to go." Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "What, you two? You two, are you going to go?" And Peter says, "There's nowhere else. There's nowhere else we could go." But later on in the courtyard, when Jesus is up at trial, yeah, when it's looking very, very, very difficult and dangerous, Peter says, "I don't know him. I don't know where he's from. No, I'm not from Galilee. What do you mean? I'm from round here." They're so afraid. They're so afraid they can't go go all the way. But at this point, when this woman comes, they're the ones who are close to Jesus and they know what he's thinking. And they say to him, Jesus, she's bugging us. She's wearing us down. Just send her away. Because they think all for Jesus refers to them, the 12 disciples, yeah? We're all for Jesus, they say. We're all for Jesus. We will go with you. We are your disciples. We support you. We're on your side. We will always be with you. If you want, we've drawn a little circle around us, and we're in it, and they're out of it. So we're all for Jesus. We're the ones. We're committed. We believe. We will follow even to death. Where are we with Jesus? Where are we? Because I think we're in different places at different times, like Peter. Of course, after his resurrection, Jesus says to Peter, well, do you? Do you? What does he say? Do you love me? Do you? Do you, Peter? I mean, in my imagination, they're walking. Maybe the disciples are all kind of sitting around eating fish, and Jesus prepared some food for them, if you remember, in the Bad Sea of Galilee. And maybe Peter and Jesus just go for a short walk together. And as they're walking along, they're just chatting, and then suddenly the other disciples hear voices raised. Peter saying, yes, Lord, you know that. You know I love you. And then it goes quiet again. They're walking along a bit more. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then it goes quiet for a bit. And then Peter, angry and hurt, yes, Lord. You know everything, Lord. You know I love you. Then, says Jesus, so I think the other disciples can hear it, feed my sheep. And who are your sheep, Jesus? And I think this story of the woman starts to help us to understand that those people like the disciples who are all for Jesus, also, as Mike said, that song and our all for Jesus mind speaks about everyone in the world, not just those who say they're all for Jesus. And what's really comforting, I think, about this story about Jesus and this woman is that he's all for her. I actually think he's all for her. I think he's voicing what people in the community say, because they say she's from off. That's what they say about this woman. She's from off. Anyway, she doesn't go to church like we do. Well, synagogue. And anyway, she's different from us. And anyway, what's she doing shouting after you? That's not very polite. She's not a very polite woman, is she? She keeps hassling you. Why don't she just go quiet? But you know what comforts me is it's not just the all for Jesus people who know they're all for Jesus people. It's the all for Jesus that Jesus is for. And that's everybody, every single human soul in this wonderful, beautiful world. Jesus is for all. And you know, sometimes we might think, I know we're in the all for Jesus crowd, like the disciples, because we're all sitting here in Himley Road Methodist Church, yeah? But actually, sometimes we might not feel that we're quite belonging. Do you know people talk about imposter syndrome? Have you heard about imposter syndrome? You're in a situation and you don't feel worthy. You don't feel you should be here. I get that most Sundays, because why am I speaking to you? No, really. You're all wise. You're prayerful. I've been to houses of, of people, and they're such prayerful people. And honestly, why me? To be honest, it's because I have a sense that God is asking me to do this. You may not get that sense, but I have that sense, and so I keep doing it. But you might think that means I'm a very all-for-Jesus person, like the disciples. But sometimes I think, well, I don't know. I'm not as firm a believer as some as you are, you know? I'm not as good a kind person as some of you are. I did bake 100 scones, to be fair, but that's not a lot to ask, really, is it? Some of you have gone so far on this Christian journey. You've cared for loved ones and relatives and people you haven't known. You've offered healing, a healing touch, a healing prayer, a healing hand. Jesus loves that. He absolutely adores you when you reach out as he does to people other people don't. And some of you, I can see in this congregation, I know it's true. You've reached out to people, other people would say, beyond the pale. I heard a lovely story the other day from a minister who used to work in the Northeast, so definitely from off. And he was saying the first day he went into his new appointment, he drove up to the manse, and one of the circuit stewards was talking to him, and a guy comes up the street, and he's about 65, this guy coming up the street. And the circuit steward said, "He's a bad one." And the minister said, oh dear, why do you say that? He said, when he was 16, he stole from the local shop. He's now 65. Turns out I'm a bad one. I once stole a football chew from the tuck shop at school. Yeah, you got 4 for a penny. Those were the days, big penny. I took 5. Okay, yeah, I did. So I'm a bad one too. Yeah, I'm now 65. So there you go. I did that when I was about 13. I felt very guilty afterwards about that. You may have done things you feel guilty about. At that point, you could say, well, I was from off, or I was a bad one. Maybe I still am. But you know what? Jesus, all for Jesus, the Jesus for all, is for me, not against me. I trust Jesus' judgment. Now, sometimes we're afraid, aren't we, about Jesus judging us. What will it be like? Oh, dear, my whole life revealed, my whole life in front of me, in front of the Lord. Everything. No, really, everything. And sometimes we might be a bit afraid. It's a bit scary, because things we think we've kept hidden or things we've done that have hurt others, it's all revealed. And God is our judge. We're told that again and again and again. What kind of judge will God be? Well, look at him with the Canaanite woman. He's a wonderful, wonderful judge who wants to judge in your favor. That's grace. Jesus wants to judge in your favor. Turn to him. Don't turn to your neighbor or to one of the other disciples like James and John and say, who's going to be sitting at the right hand of Jesus at the end of it all? No, don't do that. Turn to him. Keep your eyes on him. This is what this Canaanite woman teaches us. Look at him. Don't bother about the other disciples if they've got it wrong, and sometimes they have got it wrong. Believe you me. Turn to him. Turn to Jesus. Yes, we're all for Jesus in this congregation, but also Jesus is all for us, and we're not perfect. Well, I've often said, haven't I? I'm not. But actually, if you feel you're on the edge, if you feel like you're not worthy, let me tell you that the Canaanite woman felt she wasn't worthy. And she was getting that message very clearly from the people who were all for Jesus, the disciples. They were saying, no, he's not for you. Go away. Be quiet. Shut up. But she persists in faith. I believe in this person. I believe this person will transform my life and my child will be well again. So, disciples, you can shut up. You're telling me to shut up. You can shut up. I want to speak to him. He's the one. All for Jesus. This, our song, shall ever be. Keep your eyes on him. Don't worry. Jesus often says, do not worry. I think it says, they say, I've never tried it out. I hope one of you will go back and do this, possibly in the Greek. Have a look and see how often Jesus says, do not worry, because I've been told it's 365, one for every day of the year. Always he's saying, do not worry. Turn to him. Don't worry. Trust. Have faith. And we trust in his grace. His judgment is grace. I have died for you, says Jesus. For each one of you. I'm all for you. And I know, like Peter, sometimes you might let me down. But you know, I'm all for you. I'm all for you. I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. That's like that Canaan. That's the people from off. Or the people who don't come here who live next door. That's the people who drive the flashy cars. It's everybody. The people who are very, very poor. The people sitting at Tesco's waiting for something to be given to them. It's everybody, the whole of humanity. Jesus is all for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be joyful. For he has died. This is grace. That you might live. He's gone all the way. For everyone. For the people who are on, I guess, and the people off. Every one of us. All for Jesus. Have faith in the grace of our Savior. When Jesus says, Stephen, Mike, whatever your name is, do you love me? Be confident to say, yes, Lord. You know I love you. And he won't just stop there. He'll say, well, then feed my sheep. The woman understands about Jesus. This is before he feeds the 5,000, yeah? It's just before. He's been talking about things that defile you, what you eat, and what's coming out of your heart. Then this woman comes, and he talks about bread. Is this bread for you, he says to the woman. And she says, yes, it is, because I know you, you're Jesus. And he says, what faith? What faith you have. And she does say, even the crumbs are enough. What faith. She gets it. She gets it. The crumbs of grace are enough to satisfy our deepest longing. All for Jesus? Yes. All for Jesus? Yes. All for Jesus? Yes. All for Jesus. Amen.